Well, good day, everybody. Why don't you turn around and take a look at who's here? Flash them a smile, a little wave. Give out your credit card number. No, don't do that. Let's just begin in prayer. We'll pray for each other. God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've brought us here to this place. Kerry's already done that, Lord, but we do so again. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for those behind us, for those people in front of us, for the person to our right and the person to our left. For Lord, we know that you love them and that you seek, Lord, today to make your ways known to them. And so it is, Lord, that we pray a blessing over each person here today, that we may hear you speaking to our hearts in a new and beautiful way. And this we ask because, Lord, you love us and because we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, Mark is in a bit of a hurry to get from point A to point B. His favourite words are immediately, without delay, in that time. He's very keen to keep his narrative rolling along without too much explanation or too much room for argument. And you'll find those words and others that kind of bring that message, bring that flavour to his narrative all the way through his gospel. You know, you can sit and read the Gospel of Mark in one sitting quite easily. It's so short, so sharp. The language he's using is a language of catharsis, of purgatory, of release. And so we find Mark's gospel suddenly having Jesus in the spotlight. Right up front. Bang, there it is. The Lord of life in full view. It's amazing, really, that he fits so much into so few words. And he's the one there on the beach, on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, saying to a group of ordinary blokes, "Come, follow me. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Do you know, he says that word to us today, and I want you to hear it with the same clarity, the same joy, the same wonderment that was in the hearts of those fishermen as they said, "Yep, here we come. We're coming with you. We're leaving everything behind. We're going. See you later, family. See you later, work. We're going with Jesus." I suppose as I was preparing for today, I was caught up in that narrative and the joy of it and the wonder of it and the suddenness of it. I felt quite excited. But I think the Lord wants me to be a little bit quiet today and not to get too worked up, but rather to let all that he wants to say to us just come through with some very simple words of mine. Do you know, there is something about Jesus on that, but I wonder if you've ever done like I did this week, which was to wonder at the suddenness and the immediacy of the response that those disciples made. I mean, they had families. We know that they had work and they were part of a business. And yet they repudiated that, like, you know, like that, really quickly. I've wondered about that. How could they do that? I'd like to think that if we were on that beach with Jesus on that day, we would have just said the very same thing. Yes, we're with you, Lord. But I have a suspicion that if you're anything like me, you would have wanted to argue the toss a bit. You would have said, well, I must go and check with my family to make sure this is okay. I must make sure that all my debts are paid and I'm free to go. You know, that kind of conversation would have been happening in my heart anyway. And yet we find this surprising, stunning response of those ordinary men so long ago. So as I reflected on that this week, I think God is wanting us to see two things. The first of those is the magnificence, the presence of the one who called. And the second thing I believe God wants us to see today is, in fact, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in those men's lives, in Jesus, as he both issued that invitation and as they responded to that invitation with such clarity and such urgency. So let me just talk to you for a moment about this man on the beach who says, come, follow me. Because I think that's critical. And I might just say right now that none of us are in this place without having first heard that word from Jesus himself, come, follow me. Now, maybe that's a bit of a big ask for us to say that, but I think that's true. We meet with Jesus face to face through the agency, through the ministry, through the words of others, through the very word of God to our hearts, directly and purposefully and clearly. So let's see what Mark says about Jesus. And this is all within the first page. First of all, we have John the Baptist coming to proclaim that someone is coming who is going to be the saviour of the world. And to prepare themselves, they needed to confess their sins and repent and be baptised into that new life, which is a life of freedom from their sin. Then we find Jesus coming to that place where John was ministering and being baptized. And in that, he was immersed in the reality of human life, and the reality that none of us can have a life with God unless we are in that place of, from a heart, being able to confess our wrongness, our sinfulness in God's presence, and repenting of that, and coming to a place of trust. Jesus didn't need to do that personally, but in a symbolic kind of a way, he's showing us what is necessary for our life with God. And you know, it's just as Jesus is coming up out of the water in his baptism, the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and he hears that beautiful voice from heaven, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." The Holy Spirit anointed him, and we find that immediately, in Mark's language, Jesus was kind of ejected, kind of cast out into the wilderness where he met with and wrestled with and lived with, if you like, our enemy, Satan. And 40 days later, he was still standing quietly, resolutely in the Word of God, still standing in the truth of God, that God's word is truth, and the words of the Prince of Liars is in fact not to be trusted and will take us nowhere. What a man. What a man. Can you see, can you understand the glory of this man before these fishermen on the beach? And we have even more reason to look with wonderment at this man, this one who is the Son of God and who has come to live with us, to die for us, to be raised to life for us, to give us a hope of an eternal future. He's the one who calls us to follow him. Not some fly-by-night guru, but someone of deep substance and deep connection with the reality of God. Jesus, this one, is the one who's called you to follow him. Jesus is the one who has called you to minister with him. Jesus is the one who has called you to be his representative in this strange and difficult world that we live in and these times that we live in. You know, back in the day, to follow someone, it was about leaving what you were doing and going with that person. It was about watching, seeing what that person did. It was about being with them and hearing what that person was saying. It was about watching the ministry that he undertook and being part of that ministry. And you know, I don't think following Jesus in this day and age, some 2,000 years later, is very much different to that. We are to see what Jesus is doing, to watch what he is doing, to watch how he does ministry and the kind of ministry that he wants to conduct in this world. We are to understand the rightness of his life and ways and to be part of them in any way we can. So where was the Holy Spirit in all of this? I think you might be pretty familiar with the Holy Spirit, at least I hope you are, because the truth is that when you came to faith, you were given a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. You might not have known that, you might not know it yet, but nevertheless, I think that's part and parcel of saying yes to Jesus. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. There on that beach, I think the Holy Spirit was at work in this way, that those men who heard those voice, that voice of Jesus say, "Come, follow me," knew the authority of that voice because the Holy Spirit witnessed that to their hearts. And I think those men were able to say, "Yes, we're with you, Jesus," because the Holy Spirit gave them that understanding that this was the most important thing that they could ever do in their lives. This was the best thing that they could ever do in their lives, was to follow this man and be part of what he was doing, to grow with him and to grow into him. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit for all of us, is it not? Look, I think it's probably a good idea to kind of just focus a little bit on some scriptures that might help us to understand how it is that the Holy Spirit wants to lead us, who wants to help us to follow Jesus, how he wants us to be his representative in this world. So I'm going to turn to John's Gospel. If some of you have your Bibles, then you might want to follow through, but Just some very short readings. Because some of these readings will help us to understand how it is that God ministers through us, because that's essentially what we are called to do, to allow Jesus to minister through us to other people. So I'm looking at John 7, verse 37 to 39, and these are the words. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Can we hear together this morning that God intends for us, giving us this gift of the Holy Spirit, for streams of living water to flow from within us outwards towards those around us? It is the most beautiful thing to be in that place of understanding that following Jesus means actually letting the Spirit flow from within us. This is in order in John's Gospel. So I'm now at John chapter 16 and verse 7, which is just to reinforce just what I've just said. "But truly I tell you," Jesus says, "it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So the ministry of the Holy Spirit is effectively a ministry which is a replacement ministry for the living Lord Jesus Christ. He's here in his place. He's in you, in place of Jesus. He is the presence of God to you, in place of that presence of God that the disciples knew there on the beach. Isn't that wonderful? And a little bit later, well, I think it is anyway. You might disagree with me. But a little bit later, after the crucifixion and Jesus appears to his disciples again, these words are in John chapter 20 and verse 21. "Again Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.'" Do you hear that? "As the Father has sent me," Jesus says, "I'm sending you." "And with that, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.'" It's pretty big stuff, really, this Holy Spirit. I'm just working my way through to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just in case you're interested. Because I wouldn't want you to leave this place thinking that this Holy Spirit is something that is kind of separate from us, that we can kind of turn on and off, that we can control. So let me just remind you of my trajectory. I'm saying these men responded to Jesus because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. These men responded to Jesus because the Spirit was alive in him, and the Spirit of the river of living water was flowing through Jesus at that point in time. I'm saying that your ministry as followers of Jesus is dependent upon the Holy Spirit within you. None of us can actually follow Jesus without the leading, without the guidance, without the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. Are you happy to hear that? I think it's true. I think it's true. Anyway, look, I've turned to 1 Corinthians just because Paul has written a letter to them, 1 Corinthians, which is a letter which almost at every page is correcting their attitudes, their ministries, their worship, the way they conduct Holy Communion. On and on it goes. It's quite a remarkable letter written to a very early young church. And one of the things that Paul is really down on, very sharp on, is the way they understand the work of the Holy Spirit and how much pride had been kind of inserted into their life together as God's people, how much status there was that had developed because of certain gifts that were evident in that church. And the one thing that Paul homes in on is their focus upon the gift of speaking in tongues. He is quite sharp and really strong in his condemnation of the fact that this church held that gift so high that it actually was a measure for the status that anybody had in that congregation. If you spoke in tongues, you were better than someone who didn't speak in tongues. You were more important. If you spoke in tongues at length, then you rose in status in the eyes of others. And Paul's saying, no, this is all wrong. This is all wrong. And so he gives them a little lecture on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I think we should hear that lecture right now. It's not very long, but it's really important to us because it teaches us about how it is that the Holy Spirit ministers and for what purpose the Holy Spirit ministers to us. So in this today, friends, we're going to discover what it is that God wants us to be, wants us to do as his people. And so the beginning of chapter 12, Paul writes these words, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." Actually, that word gifts is not in the original. So he just simply says, now about the spiritual, I don't want you to be uninformed. And then he goes on to say, look, when you were pagans, you were influenced by mute idols. And he says, and these words are very important, "I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." So that's the first thing we need to understand about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings us back to and into the life of this one who stood on the beach and said, "Come, follow me." It's very important to understand that you can't say Jesus is Lord without the ministry of the Holy Spirit to your heart. You can't speak those words with any sincerity unless the Holy Spirit has actually given you those words and a heart to say Jesus is Lord. That's powerful. It actually says something about all of us, about the presence and power of the Holy Spirit within us. And then he says, there are different kinds of gifts, different kinds of endowments, different ways of being. So he says there are different ways of serving, but it is the same Lord who enables us to serve. There are different ways of working, but in all of them, it is actually God who is at work. Do you hear that? Not you, but God. I thought I'd missed one, but I haven't. Do you hear that word? That the gifts of the Spirit are all distributed, endowed by the one Lord. And all of the work that comes through us is actually the Lord's doing. I don't know whether you understand your ministry in this church and beyond in this world in that way, but I really hope and pray that you might actually come to that place today of understanding that whatever you do in the Lord's name is not actually something that you do, but actually something that God is doing through you. And this is one of my really, the key verses that I understand relates to me in this day and age, and relates to my life of ministry in the name of Jesus. And this, verse 7, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Have you heard that one before? To each one of us, the manifestation or the evidence or the working, the outworking of the Holy Spirit, those streams of living water that Jesus said would flow from us, actually is nothing more, nothing less than the Holy Spirit himself flowing from us and doing that work for what? For the common good, for everyone to be built up, for reconciliation to happen, for forgiveness to happen, for the grace of God to be evidenced to those around us, for those things that we need to be released from, and so on and so on and so on, leading us in worship. These are the gifts of God that he gives to us for everyone, that the whole church may be built up. Now, as you read through 1 Corinthians 12 a bit later, Paul talks about unity and diversity in the body, and then he goes on to chapter 13 where he's talking about the great gift of love. You know that chapter, don't you? And then chapter 14, he addresses very strongly this whole business of the gift of tongues. Now, friends, I have to say to you, I speak in tongues, and I really, really, really treasure that gift. I know that there are others in this congregation who speak in tongues, but Paul is saying in the church, in terms of ministry, the work of the Holy Spirit is actually to build up, to bless, to change, to grow people's lives. And this is a work not of ourselves, but as a work of the Holy Spirit. So the church at Corinth was the church that actually kind of thought they had this thing, you know, this something that nobody else had, or you had to work to get it, which was this gift of speaking in tongues that they could actually turn on and off. But actually, the coming of the Spirit is the coming of the fullness of God to our hearts. The work of the Spirit is the coming, the fullness of God to us, to live within us. The fullness of God outworking through us for the glory of God. That's a little bit different to actually saying, I have something that I can use, and here it is. And I'll use it now, but not now. It's actually the fullness of God dwelling within us, outworking in ways beyond us, outworking in ways that declare God's goodness and love and joy in this world of ours that so desperately needs those very things. Now, you're all sitting there very quiet and very still, and you've got very solemn faces. I wonder how this word has been received by you today. Look, really what I want you to understand and to hear and to crave more than anything else in this world, as you go about your life of following Jesus, as you go about your life of ministering to others around you, praying with them, talking with them, doing stuff for them, as you do that, my hope and prayer is this, that you would crave that Holy Spirit that we've been speaking about so, so badly, that you keep asking for it. Have you ever asked Holy, for yourself, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill me? Would you in all your fullness come and bless every part of me, every part of what I do and say? I'd really like to take a little bit of a kind of straw poll right now, but I won't. So when I often do this, I often ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill me. I often ask the Holy Spirit to come and give me words to speak. I often ask the Holy Spirit to come and be more alive in me. And when I do that, I'm really wanting to say to God, Lord, I really need you to be at the centre of everything I'm doing. I want you to take over. I want you to be my highest priority. I want you to be all of your cares and interests and concerns in this world to be my priority, my cares, my concerns. And, you know, sometimes we are so able to kind of forget those things and take things over ourselves. At least, again, dear friends, I'm speaking about myself. I have a wonderful capacity to actually put God on the sidelines and say, I can do this. I will do this. But actually, I need to let God do what he wants to do and understand that whatever I'm doing, it's his work and not mine. So I've chosen to sing a hymn to conclude our service today, and it is a hymn which is actually praying for the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. And I want you to sing this hymn today with a great sense of God's ability to come to you now, God's capacity to actually fill your life in a fresh and beautiful way, of actually filling you with the energy and life that Jesus had and has for this world. And it's a hymn about reviving the church. It's a hymn about reviving our hearts. And it all depends on us saying, come, Holy Spirit, visit with us now. Because your life, your ministry, your following of Jesus depends upon this one thing, the Holy Spirit.